This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, I want to begin with the same hadith, part of it, some of it I mentioned in the last class. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that a means of guidance for us. You might say, why am I talking about the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a class which is called Reflect on the Quran? The reason is very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us the Quran, which is the kalam of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us its explanation through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who explained it to us. And then he sent him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a demonstrator to show us what to do. So one is to convey to us the hukum. This is what Allah says. The second is to explain what does that hukum mean. This is what it means. And the third is to show us in practice by demonstrating that hukum and by living according to that hukum his entire life. To give you a very easy example to understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimus Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, innani anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqimis salata li dhikri. Allah said, verily, I am Allah, there is no one worthy of worship except me, so establish salah for my remembrance, for my dhikr. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these ayat came to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited them, so the Sahaba knew and we know what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the exact words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we accept. We say, Amantu billah, we say we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe in Allah, and we say, Alhamdulillah, we are ready to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So Allah said, establish salah, aqimus salah. We say, Alhamdulillah, labbaik ya Rab, we are ready, O Allah, to obey you. But what is the meaning of establishing of salah? How is salah to be established? Right? This is one of the, aqimus salah is one of the several key words and phrases that are mistranslated, at least in the English version of the Quran, where people translate it as, say your prayers, or read your namaz, or perform your prayers. Salah is not a performance, Salah is not drama. And Allah did not tell us to perform Salah. Allah said, establish Salah, aqimus Salah, iqamatis Salah. So therefore the question obviously is that if I am supposed to establish salah, what does that mean? First of all, what is salah? Because the dictionary meaning of salah is dua. So is it enough if I simply sit there and, you know, when I feel like it, I say, oh Allah, do this for me, do that for me, and so on and so forth. I make some dua, right? Is that enough? Is that salah? Does it count for salah? I mean, there are people, may Allah protect us from ourselves, and may Allah protect us from being misguided by ourselves and our nafs and shaitan. There are people who have left salah and use this argument to say that salah means dua, therefore I'm making dua. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Salah is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned Salah very specifically, and he said that Al Ahadu Ladi Bainana wa Bainahum as Salah, Faman Aradaha Fakat Kafara. Hukama Qala alayhi salatu wasalam. In the famous hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the difference, the division, the dividing line, the differentiator, what separates us from them, meaning people who are not Muslim, is the Salah. And he said, the one who has left the Salah, who does not pray, who refuses to pray, that person has committed kufr, that person has left Islam. Right? Now, the Sahaba were all of them, muttafaqun alayhi, they were all completely agreed upon this fact and this matter, that Salah is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is absolutely critical to Islam. Without that, without Salah, there is no Islam. Right? Now, therefore, how is this Salah to be established? What is the meaning of establishment of Salah? Just think about this on a side note. Why is Salah so important? Because Salah is the physical manifestation, the physical expression, the proof and evidence of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Right? Think about this, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this beautiful way of worship, which He made as an evidence for us. Salah is the physical manifestation. It is the proof of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. It is La ilaha illallah in the context of there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who accepts that, he says, I believe this, La ilaha illallah, and therefore I will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how will you do that? Right? How will you do that? So at the time of worship, when the time for Salah comes, when the muazzin calls the adhan, the person who believes in La ilaha illallah will stand up in Salah. But what will he do? How will he pray? Muhammadur Rasulullah means I follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, the last and final of them. And what is the evidence of that? I pray like he used to pray. Because that is what he told us when he taught us Salah. He said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. He said, pray as you have seen me pray. Right? Now think about this, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wanted to reveal and send down detailed instructions in the Quran about how the prayer is to be done, what was there to stop Allah? Why did Allah not do that? He could have done it. He did not do that because he wanted us to understand the importance of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam simply is not some kind of messenger who came and brought a message and gave it and went away. No. He is the message. He is the message. He is the human manifestation of the message. He is the living message. The message of the Quran, the living picture of that, the model of that message is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his life. And that is why he said, pray as you have seen me pray. Who taught him to pray? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him to pray. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him to pray, he taught us to pray. Therefore, we owe the prayer to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Right? This is the importance of the sunnah in our lives. The sunnah is absolutely critical to understanding the Quran. There is no doubt about this. The sunnah is completely and totally critical to understanding the Quran. If you leave the sunnah out of your life, you will not be able to practice Islam. It is as simple as that. You will not be able to do salah, you will not be able to do hajj, you will not be able to pay zakat, you will not be able to fast in Ramadan, you will not know what time to wake up and what time to eat in the morning, what time to break the fast. You will not know what is halal, you will not know what is haram, you will not know what to do if you make a mistake in your salah, in your sawm. You will not know millions of things. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us those things in the Quran. He told us those things in the Wahi, which is not recited, Wahi Ghair Matlu', which is the Sunnah and the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These two are together. The Quran and the Sunnah are together. The Quran is the book, the Sunnah is its explanation. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his life is the beautiful physical model of that explanation. Right? Explanations are of two kinds. One is when somebody tells you what to do. And the other one is when that somebody not only tells you what to do, but also does it and shows you how it is to be done. And we all know how important that is and how powerful that is and how effective that is. Right? Those of you who have tried to do any kind of physical exercise or something and you know, obviously you can look at a book and see diagrams of it, or you can read about it. But if you watch a YouTube video on it, or even better, because YouTube video you can't ask questions. But if the instructor is there physically present before you, and the instructor is showing you how to do the exercise, and you are following the instructor, and the instructor corrects you and says, move your leg a little more to the right. Right? Stand straight, keep your head straight. Right? When you bend down, keep your head up. That will save your back. Now, all of these instructions being given to you real time, right there, they add a huge amount of value to that exercise, and it makes that exercise beneficial for you, and you are able to understand it, and you are able to do it correctly and benefit from it. This is the value of the Sunnah. This is the value of the Sunnah. Now, if you are somebody who wants to exercise, then you have the option of this instructor, the live instructor, there with you to guide you and to show you exactly how to do it. And if you say, oh, no, I don't need the instructor. I'm okay. I can read the description of the exercise in the book and I will do it. What will you say? You will say you are a fool. I will say you are a complete fool, because you have the option of the instructor who can guide you and who is willing to guide you, who is willing to handhold you through the whole thing, and you want to refuse that, you are crazy. And obviously you will not be able to do something, you will make a mistake, and you will pay for it. Now this is the issue of rejecting Sunnah. So here we have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent with his kitab, and who he called his ni'mah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, verily and truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the mu'mineen, has given them a great ni'mah, has given them a great blessing, and that blessing is his Habib, his Rasul, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he said Allah has given him this blessing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is his blessing? The first part of the blessing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought out this Nabi, made this Nabi from the same people, from you. So it is a double honor. One is that you received a Nabi, you received a messenger of Allah. And the second part of the honor is that he is one of you. It's not a foreigner, it's not some other kind of creature, it is not somebody from another land or other people, it is one of you. So this is a double blessing. Allah said Allah has blessed the mu'mineen. And then this messenger was given four things to do. What was that? Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, to recite for them the ayat of the Quran, wa yuzakkihim, to purify them, wa yuallimuhum alkitab, and to explain the ayat of the Quran, to teach them the Quran, wal hikmah, and to demonstrate that and to show them and demonstrate for them the wisdom of those ayat of the Quran. This is the importance of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is how the Quran itself reinforces the importance of the Rasul alayhi salam and of his Sunnah of His Mubarak Sunnah. And therefore, I remind myself and you, let us focus on the Sunnah of Rasulullah and ensure that we don't lose out this beautiful ni'mah, this beautiful blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Now I come to the hadith that we were talking about, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand it. This iPad of mine keeps locking up. Okay. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, and this is such a beautiful hadith of so much of good news that is given to us, such wonderful glad tidings, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, some people will come on the day of judgment and their iman will be outstanding. Its light will shine from their chests and from their right hands. It will be said to them, glad tidings to you today, assalamu alaikum, and goodness for you, and enter into Jannah forever. The angels and the prophets will be jealous of the love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for them. Imagine what a phenomenal and fabulous prophecy this is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among them. The Sahaba said, who are these people, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, they are not from you. You are my companions and Sahaba, but they are my beloved. They will come after you, and you will find the book Quran made redundant by the people, and a Sunnah which has been killed by them. So they will grab hold of the book and the Sunnah, and they will revive them. Right? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that these are people who will come after the time of the Sahaba is over. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who will have at least a glimpse of these people, who will have a little bit of a shadow, a ray. I don't dare to say that may Allah make me and you these people. At least for myself, I don't have the courage to say that. May Allah make you, inshallah. But at least I would like to see them. I would like to, have their shadow fall on me as a means of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. So he's saying, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, they'll come after you, and it will come in a time when the Kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of the Nabi alayhi salam has been made redundant, meaning people are ignoring it, they have cast it aside, and they are not following the Book of Allah or the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these are the people who will come, and they will revive the Kitab of Allah, and they will revive the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he continued, he said, they will read them, which is they will read the Quran and the Sunnah, and they will teach them. They will teach the Quran and the Sunnah to the people, and they will experience in that path a punishment, as a trials more severe and more ugly than what you Sahaba experienced. May Allah protect us from this. May Allah protect us from trials. May Allah protect us from difficulties. Indeed, the iman of one of them is equivalent to the iman of 40 of you. He's speaking to the Sahaba Ridwan Allahi Alayhi Majmai. He's saying the iman of one of those people who will come after him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and after the Sahaba, and who will revive the Kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and who will face trials and tribulations in that process. May Allah protect us from trials and tribulations. He said the iman of one of them is equivalent to the iman of 40 of you. The shaheed of one of them is equivalent to 40 of your shuhada, because you found a helper towards the truth, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. But they will find no helper towards the truth, because the Rasul, the Risalat has ended. So they will not have a Rasul with them. They will be surrounded by tyrant rulers in every place. They will be in the surroundings of Baytul Maqdis, Al-Quds. The Nusra of Allah, the help of Allah will come to them, and they will have the honor of it on their hands. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Allah, give them nusra, make them my close friends in Jannah. He said, O Allah, give them nusra, help them, and make them my close friends in Jannah. One is for us to ask for the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The other one is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked for the company of some people, and they were these people. who will come after him and who will revive the Kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, and they will teach the Kitab of Allah and they will teach the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ according to by word and by deed. And this hadith is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. My brothers and sisters, stick to the Sunnah and reject every innovation, and reject all bid'at, right? In that only there is khair for us. The deen of Islam came complete in every respect. Rasulullah ﷺ did not do any qanaat, he did not do any shortcutting with the deen. He brought the deen, the complete deen, and he presented it to us in the most beautiful fashion. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with. Let us not destroy it, let us not spoil it, let us not corrupt it, let us not adulterate it by introducing into it customs and practices and our own desires and whatnot, which become bid'at and which become all kinds of innovations. Let us not do that, because if we do that, then we will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for corrupting his deen. Stick to the sunnah, because that is khair. And remember that you asked for this sunnah in salah. You asked Allah for this sunnah, Jalla Jalaluhu, in salah, in every rakat. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-mustaqim is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the sirat al-mustaqim? Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Who is the best of them who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded? Is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the sirat al-mustaqim is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the sunnah. So how can we then reject what we asked for? Think about that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sunnah, and then when Allah has given us the sunnah, we leave the sunnah and we go somewhere else. We leave the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we follow the way of somebody or someone else. Now how bad is that? Think about that. What a big mistake, and how completely illogical and dumb and stupid that would be for us to do that. So let us make tawbah and change our ways, lest we are held among those who said one thing and did something else. And that is the definition of nifaq. People who angered Allah to the extent that the one who is Ghafoorur Rahim refused to forgive them. Even if Rasulullah ﷺ made dua for them 70 times, and these were the munafiqun. Yeah, they angered Allah to such an extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who forgives everything, refused to forgive them. Not only did he refuse to forgive them, he declared that, and he said to Rasulullah, even if you ask for forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. May Allah protect us from following their path. We come to the last ayat of this surah, Surah Al-Fatiha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned, further clarified what is Sirat al-Mustaqim, where he said, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, ghayr al-Maghdubi alayhim, wal ad-dallin. Reflect on this. Dua for guidance, effectively. Think about this, that the dua for guidance is effectively over with Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly told us to ask, O Allah, guide us to the path of righteousness, the path of steadfastness. Now, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, ghayr al-Maghdubi alayhim wal ad-dallin is really further clarifying and reiterating what we asked for, which is Sirat al-Mustaqim, what it is and what it is not. So, think about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Sirat al-Mustaqim, and here he is telling us what is Sirat al-Mustaqim and what it is not. I remind myself and you that the dua itself of Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, think about this and reflect on this, that path of steadfastness, right? I mean, the Sirat al-Mustaqim is the Sirat of Istiqamah. Now translated differently, as some people say, path of righteousness, path of straight path, and so on. all of which are not exact translations. These are inferences. But the actual translation is the path of steadfastness. Now, what do we understand by steadfastness? Steadfastness is to stay in the correct position, to stay on the correct path despite difficulties, right? There's no steadfastness, there's no need for steadfastness if everything is going your way. Like everything is happening the way I want it to happen, and I say I'm being steadfast. Well, what's steadfast about that? I mean, you know, things are going the way you want. There's nothing to be steadfast about. But to be steadfast is to stick to the right thing even in the presence of adversity. For example, Rasulullah said, he told us that riba, you know, is he told us it is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us it is haram. So to be steadfast is not to do riba, not to backbite, not to bad talk anybody, despite whatever is happening around you, right? To move away from that, to warn people not to say that. This is steadfastness. If you, for example, if somebody is cursing you or is behaving badly with you, to remain with equanimity, not to give in to that, not to retaliate, not to curse him back, this is steadfastness, right? To stick to your prayers, to ensure that you pray on time, even when there may be difficulties for you, is steadfastness. Fasting is steadfastness, alhamdulillah. So steadfastness is the ability to stick to the thing in the presence of difficulties. Now, why would you ask for steadfastness? Because steadfastness builds strength. Strength is built by working against resistance, not by going with the flow. There's no strength. Strength doesn't get built by that. Strength gets built when you work against resistance. That is the whole principle of weightlifting, for example. You lift weights because it's against resistance. And when you do that, it builds your muscles. It builds strength in the muscles. So Allah is guided us to ask for steadfastness because it makes us stronger. Steadfastness makes our iman stronger because we are working against resistance. Right? And also because in the scheme of things, when we do something right, when we do something correctly, then we will get, the world is such that we will get a pushback. Nobody gets a pushback if they are doing, just think about it, think about society. If somebody wants to start, within quotes, a fun place, right? Including all kinds of haram maybe in it. You might have, for example, here in Springfield, MGM started, right? The big gambling casino, and of course all that happens in the casino. Ask yourself, why is it that the people of Springfield did not rise up in protest? Why is it that they did not file suits in court? They did not petition the government and the city to say we cannot allow this gambling den to come into our city because of the corruption that it will spread, and we are seriously afraid for our children, for their future. How come none of this happened? Yeah? Even the Muslims did not do that. Who did it? Nobody did it. But you know and I know what happens the moment somebody says we want to build a masjid. This is the nature of things. This is the nature of society. That is why, on the one hand, we fight against righteousness. We fight against goodness. We fight against anybody who says, let us create a world which is free from war, which is free from hatred. Let us create a world which is healthy, which is good. We fight against them. And then we wonder and we ask, oh, why is this world so bad? Why is there no kindness? Why is there no justice? How will there be? You get what you pay for. So if you're going to fight goodness, then you will get only evil. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because if you are on the path of righteousness, the single most reliable sign of that is that you will get pushback. You will get resistance. People will be against you. And that is why you need steadfastness. Because if you say something and if people resist that and you give up, then goodness will not spread. If you want goodness to spread, then you have to stick to that, no matter what people are saying. Even if you are the only person doing it, you have to stick to that. I remember a very beautiful story I heard. I was in a conference in San Francisco, no, in LA, in Los Angeles, more than 20 plus years, probably almost 25 years ago. And I heard about this Jamaat, this Tabligh Jamaat, which came from the Sarhad, which is the border of Pakistan and Afghanistan. So this Jamaat had come to America. So I thought it was a very now they didn't speak English, but of course we speak their languages, so we could speak to them. Now this Jamaat came and they were talking about it. I asked them, where are you from? It was from such a place, some name of some town. And so I said, is the work of Tabligh strong? The work of Tabligh is very strong. And we have lots of Jamaats, so many Jamaats go out every year and so on. So I said, is it a big city that you are, because if this much of activity? They said, no, it's a small, almost a village. It's a small place, but there's a lot of activity. And then somebody says, this happened, talking about istiqamat, the ability to be steadfast. They said it all started with one person. They said this person, he went out, Tabligh people took him, he went in Jamaat. And when he came back, he did what Tabligh people always do, which is usually after Maghrib Salah, soon as Salah is over, he stood up and he announced and he said that Sunnaton ke baad, Iman o Yaqeen ki baat hogi, aap log tashreef rakhiye. He said, after Sunnah, there will be a talk on Iman and Yaqeen. So please stay. And people did what people always do, which is even the ones who would pray Sunnah in the masjid, they left and went away. So the masjid is empty. Now, interestingly, the differentiator was what this man did. Now, I think, I'm sure all of you know that in India, Pakistan and so on, there are these caps, not like this one, they usually made of grass, woven grass, or maybe some cheap kind of cloth, and these are kept. These are sort of public benefit, so they are kept in a basket because it is considered to be very bad to pray with your head uncovered. So the caps are there. So if you come to the masjid and you don't have your own cap, then you can pick up one of those caps and wear it for the salah. So what this man did was, he went to that basket, he picked out 10-15 of those caps, he arranged them in front of him on the floor in a semicircle, and he stood up and he delivered his khutbah, he delivered his bayan to those caps, right? He spoke to those caps. And after he finished his talk, he collected them, put them back, and then he stood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he prayed and he wept and he wept and he wept and he made dua and he said, "Oh Allah, see my state. I want to talk about your glory and your greatness and your goodness and I want to tell people about you, but nobody is willing to listen to me. So I am doing what I can do." Now they said that this man did this week after week after week. Like every week he would stand up, he would announce that there will be a talk of Iman and Yaqeen after the Salah, please wait, please stay. Nobody would stay, people would leave and go away. And this man would go there, he would pick up those caps, he would arrange those caps, and he would make this talk, he would talk to those caps. Now the people said that, the way our masajid are, we don't have big walls and windows and so on, so people can see what he's doing. People said, people watch this thing, and week after week after week, this man is doing this. And then slowly a talk started in the village. They said, the people said to each other, they said, "Why are we treating our own brother like this? He is our brother, he is one of us. All the man wants to do is to talk about Allah. We go to the masjid, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to talk about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are we so bad that we can't just sit there, just out of courtesy for the man, maybe we just sit there and listen to him and then we go home, right? Why are we treating him like this, that he has to talk to caps? How bad and evil is this? This talk started by itself. Nothing happens by itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in the hearts of people. So people said to each other, look, this is bad, we should not do this. So they said that gradually, after that, some people waited and they listened to him, and some more people, and they said, this is the result. Alhamdulillah, we have jamaats going out from this town, from this village, all over the world, all because of one man who refused to give up. He was steadfast, he stood there, he said what had to be said, he refused to give up. He said, I will not leave. I will speak to the caps if I have to speak to the caps, but I will speak, and if I have to do this work, I will do this. This is the meaning of steadfastness. And this is what we ask for. Hidana Sirat al-Mustaqim. Allah guide us to the path of steadfastness. And what is that steadfastness? That steadfastness is the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. More about this in the next class, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ar-rahimin. Wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.